Last night I had the great privilege of attending the Prime Minister's Education Excellence Awards, and I was blown away by not only the brilliance of the educators in the room, but the passion they had for providing the best public education for all of our kids. Now, I know that Mike Hosking spoke to the head of Manurewa Intermediate School. They won the overall award for excellence. However, Invercargill Middle School was one of the winners as well, a winner of the Excellence in Teaching and Learning category. And Stan Tiatia is on his way home now after a wonderful night, I hope it was for you, Stan.
Yeah, it was awesome. Kia ora, Kerry.
Kia ora. Now, you're the principal of Invercargill Middle School. Tell us what made your school a finalist, because not everybody had the privilege of attending last night.
Okay, so we had a case study going on in our school, and we were identifying oral language with our children and seeing that there was an opportunity that we could become experts. Mm-hmm. And we have 25% international students. We've got 20% Māori, and we noticed that there was a lot of oral language lack in the kids speaking to one another and speaking in groups, so we really wanted to work on that. So the case study group did an inquiry around oral language.
Yeah.
And just sort of figured out what it is that we need to be specifically teaching kids, and how do we help them to do that.
And how did you do that? It looked to be incredibly innovative, judging from the video.
So it was all about teacher or adult behaviour. It's not about kids and sort of thinking that they're broken and you've got to fix them. It's about what can we do as adults to help the kids. So the teachers looked at the types of sentence starters that they were using with the kids in discussion groups.
Yeah.
It also was giving the kids power. So they were using hand signals as part of the talk moves. And they had these hand signals for agreeing with the speaker, for disagreeing, for adding on to what the speaker was speaking about, so the speaker could interact with the listeners. So that each child in the class had power, they were participating, and they were working with the teacher to develop their oral language.
Because I found that really interesting. It's not signing language, is it, as deaf people use to one another? It's your own special Invercargill Middle School language.
That's right. It's co-constructed. So the kids get to be a part of it. They have the power to be able to decide what the signs are going to be and how they'll use them in the classroom.
And does that give them confidence to say, okay, I haven't got the language skills I need just yet to be able to contribute, but I can still contribute and have my thoughts and feelings known. I can tell
That's
you
right.
to slow down, or that I agree with you, which makes me feel as though I'm participating.
That's right, and it's a scaffold to help build to discussion and being able to present a full sentence that expresses what they're feeling or what they're thinking or their opinion, and interacting with the different children in the group.
I remember talking to a coach who was working with Auckland Rugby years and years and years ago, and they were going through some tough times. And at the coaching sessions, the players were being asked what had gone wrong, where the coaches had gone wrong, how the play could have been done better. And he realised that a lot of the young Polynesian men weren't contributing. But in their culture, you don't disagree with authority and you don't go against authority. So he got them to show what they would have done on the field. So they acted it out rather than spoke up, which was a way of getting their thoughts and contributions. And that sort of sounds like what you've done, rather than ask children to speak up when they feel that they haven't got the skills to do so or they're not yet confident enough to participate, they can still participate in another way.
That's right. And I think the thing is that every child, every person has a cultural toolkit.
Yeah.
The things that they've learned through their life. It's not a necessity issue, but something that they've learned about speech and about speaking and expressing themselves. So to work with them and have that co-constructive gives them the power to be able to participate in the discussion. And just like you're saying, you know, for a start, it might be just hand signals or it might be writing down, but they actually get to participate in the discussion. And then as they get more confidence, they get the skills that they need, they add to their cultural toolkit. So we're adding to it. We're not taking away anything.
No.
Just adding to it. So same thing with English language learners. You don't take away their language. And then put in English, you add to their language and you add vocabulary and understanding of what's happening in the sentence structure so that they can add to what they already know.
You also don't believe in a one-size-fits-all education, do you?
No, I don't. Not at all. Mm-hmm. And there's no copy and paste here. I mean, other schools, you know, people are saying, well, how do you share this out? And it's actually the process that we want to share. We want, you know, the teacher inquiry and how we develop what we developed. But we couldn't actually just print it off and give it to another school because it wouldn't work. Because it's about co-construction. It's about partnership. Those Treaty of Waitangi principles coming through again.
So when you, I mean, we've had parents bemoan on Talkback before that their child is expected to be a square peg and, you know, is a square peg and they have to fit into a round hole. How do you have the time for each pupil to be recognised as an individual with its own individual learning style?
Well, you start off with a bunch of people that you saw last night. Mm-hmm. It was an expression of the raw emotion last night. It's an expression of what happens in schools today. There are staff, there are teachers, there are principals, there are teacher aides, there are people going into school that are passionate and really want to be responsive to kids. They want to develop that. And so you've got to start with that passion. You've got to start with that that excitement for learning themselves. And then you don't come in as a deficit saying, well, the kids are broken, I need to fix them. You need to be thinking, well, what's the adult behaviour that we can change to help support students?
And it's not all well-meaning waffle, is it? You've got absolute tangible evidence that your approach works.
That's right. You come to my school, I mean, and you'll see strong routines. And if you were to get a snapshot of it, it might look, you know, a bit mean or a bit, you know, oh man, they really get on with it there, you know, we're really urgent. But the truth is that kids feel safe when they know what's expected of them, what they can expect of the school, and what they can expect of themselves. And that expectations of themselves is the big grower. That's the one that they can add to and they can reach for the stars with.
All very well and good for you to be involved in their lives to the extent that you are, for you to be passionate about their learning, for you to help them be the best they can be. What happens if their home life is less than optimal? They're just not getting the sleep or the support or the encouragement or even the food they need to be the best.
Well, yeah, and so this is a learning for everybody. So how do we add to the parents now? Instead of being deficit and saying, well, they don't know or they don't understand, how do we support them? How do we develop with them? How do we be the co-constructive? And it all starts with relationships. It's got to be with relationships. So our school, as teachers, we started connecting with parents with Facebook because that's part of their cultural toolkit now. They use Facebook. So each class has a Facebook page and there is actual learning conversations going on the Facebook. We're not just putting pictures up and following meals or whatever it is. It's actual learning, little bits of learning. And so the parents can see what's going on and they understand it as well. And then we engage with them through the children. So the children know what they're learning. They're able to take that home and the parents become part of that. And they're a part of the solution or they're part of the development of these children.
I think that's your flight boarding, isn't it, Stan?
Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, God. I thought I heard the page in the background. I thought you want to get back and you want to share the success. I know a number of the teachers travelled up with you, but you want to share the success with the school. Because,
yeah, that's right.
You know, school has so much responsibility and it keeps, for every community failing, the school is expected to shore it up. And it is a big expectation that the schools can fix all, but you can't do it by yourselves, can you?
No, it's very unreasonable for society to do that, and it is the easy answer. You know, education's the key, schools, everybody wants to put their program in the schools, but the truth is that we're there to educate the kids, and education counts. Education is important. You know, there's all the studies, all that shows what happens when you have good education, and they're all good outcomes for society. So it's about letting us get on with that.
Because you know that for yourself, though, don't you? It's not just something you've learnt from a book. You live this.
That's right. This is what we do. And, you know, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. This is me. If I was to be a multi-millionaire and got all the toys, after all said and done, this is what I'd be doing for a job.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it, especially given that you're travelling. Congratulations to you and the rest of the team. It was just a wonderful, wonderful night. I really did feel very lucky to be there.
Thank you so much. And you know, to the Middle Massive team down in Invercargill, we're coming home.
That is Dan Tiatia, Invercargill Middle School principal, that won the, well, one, it was one of the winners, there were two, Excellence in Teaching and Learning category in the Prime Minister's Education Excellence Awards. Some awards weren't awarded last night, some of the because they hadn't met the standard, so it was pretty rigorous. And just in 2011, at Invercargill Middle School, 79% of students were achieving at or above the national standards. 4 years later, under Stan Tiatia, that went up to 86%. Writing improved from 59% to 82%. So it's all measurable. It's congratulations to Invercargill Middle School.